I don't mind a tall bitch in my life, as long as whenever she bends over, she's not like a giraffe. You know what I'm saying? Like where I had to jump up and have to fucking hump her like that. That's fucking. I ain't fucking like that. Hey, one thing I'm learning about women is women like security. You know, women love security. And, you know, every time I come to a bar or a place like this, you know, after I talk to a woman, they start yelling for security. I guess that's what they're asking for, is security.
I don't know if it's an ability or if you have it, just you can't quit. And I've seen people quitting. And if they would have held out longer, they would have been successful. I've seen it so much. I've seen some of the most brilliant people in the world that never made it because they were quitters. Never, ever quit.
Andrew McCarthy is interested in more than just a good... Listen, he's having no trouble...
Could you say it again?
He... Feller in the white...
So I dug my heels in deeper.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
A non-basketball question. Did you get a chance to meet with the royal family? And if not, how was it like having them there in the building?
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph?
The Prince and Princess of Wales.
Oh, no, I did not. I'm only familiar with one royal family. I don't know too much about that one.
Sad pony.
Hey. Yeah.
Penny egg.
Good evening, I'm Blake Montgomery with Logical Conservative, bringing you current events on The Anthony Rogers Show. On January 13th, 2025, California Governor Gavin Newsom and state Democrats approved a $50 million budget. Now, guess what it's for? It's not for the wildfires. It's to prepare for potential challenges from the incoming Trump administration. Now, the funding is allocated as follows. The $25 million is going to the California Department of Justice to defend against federal mandates, and another $25 million to support legal nonprofits and immigration support centers, aiming to protect immigrants from deportation, detention, and wage theft. Now, of course, as you would think, this initiative has sparked controversy. Republican critics argue that the state should prioritize addressing the severe wildfires in Southern California over political funding. Assembly Minority Leader James Gallagher stated, "At a time when California should be a laser focused on responding to the devastating wildfires in LA, Democrat lawmakers, their priority is creating a $50 million slush fund to hire government lawyers for hypothetical fights against and to defend criminal illegal immigrants from being returned to their country." Now, in a major diplomatic breakthrough, United States mediated talks between Israel and Hamas have resulted in a ceasefire to end the 15-month conflict and secure the release of hostages. A coalition of health professionals and scientists has mobilized to oppose the Senate confirmation of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as the next U.S. Health Secretary. In a public letter, they warn that his unfounded fringe beliefs could significantly undermine public health practices across the country and around the world. Despite recent policy reversals, RFK Jr. remains under intense scrutiny. Now that's it for Current Events on the Anthony Rogers Show. I'm Blake Montgomery with Logical Conservative. You can follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. Enjoy the show. Take care.
Everything is great as long as you can clean the messes that you make. I'll punch you in the face. Everything is safe.
Welcome back to the best show in the entire universe. My name is Anthony Rogers. I'll be your host. Tonight we have a interesting and awesome episode, I think, personally, like a subject that I personally nerd out about and just read and watch everything on YouTube, but I'm like the rabbit hole, you'd call it, of this information. We have an awesome author. I was talking to him backstage, really cool guy. Wrote a lot of books. You should, one of them's in the description for what we're talking about tonight is Shapeshifting. His name is John Kovacic. How you doing, brother?
How you doing, Anthony?
Did I butcher the name, or did I get it close?
Yeah, you did.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, you chopped it up.
How do you say it exactly?
Okay, Kachuba.
Kachuba, there we go. John Kachuba. I knew I butchered that. I was like trying not to.
Sorry, man. It's happened before.
Said it three more times, so it's a better promo, you know.
That's right.
What aspect of like shapeshifting, or what brought you to this subject more so before we start this up? Like, what kind of like drew your attention to shapeshifting? Like, was it?
Well, so a lot of what I write in a lot of my books, I have 13 books out, but a lot of what I've written has been paranormal stuff, and mostly about ghosts, you know, ghosts and hauntings. And I do a lot of public speaking at libraries and universities and conferences, podcasts like your show, whatever.
Like Coast to Coast, I heard you on. That's a huge one.
Yeah. So and what happens is I always have, you know, a couple minutes afterwards for hear what the audience has to say. And so often people tell me about their own ghost experiences. You know, hey, I saw my uncle who passed away 5 years ago. Okay, great, great stories. But I also noticed that a lot of them were telling me stories that weren't really ghosts. To me, they sounded more like what we consider to be shapeshifters, you know, a form that is actually sort of transforming. So I was interested in that and said, well, you know, I'm hearing so much of that. Why is that? And I just started digging into it, and I found out that every culture around the world, almost every culture, has at least one kind of shapeshifter, if not several different kinds. And in fact, not only do they just have them now, but this goes way back to like prehistoric times. The earliest image of a shapeshifter was done in the Neolithic period, and it's a cave painting in France that shows like this shaman transforming into a deer or an antelope, some kind of like an antler kind of antler-hoofed animal. So a shapeshifter character has been around forever. And so I just really got intrigued by it and started digging into it and just found out all this shapeshifter lore from all around the world. And I went to a lot of places that had, you know, shapeshifter stories or incidents about shapeshifting.
That's awesome. Yeah, we had David Icke on here, and he said a similar thing, that people with like lectures would bring it up. And that's kind of interesting. What would these people say? For example, what somebody who said they saw a shapeshifter? How do they say that to you? Like,
well, so David, I mean, I'm aware of his work. In fact, I mentioned him in my book too. You know, his whole thing is that shapeshifters are aliens. They're reptilian aliens. Aliens that have a reptilian form, and that they came to Earth like who knows millions of years ago even before humans as we know them today, Homo sapiens was around. And they basically, intermarried, but they had relations with whatever kind of proto-human was running around on the planet those days. And so they got all this genetic material, this reptilian alien genetic material that's been transformed and transmitted over the, you know, eons since they landed here, wherever. And so these people, according to David, are, you know, they're still among us, and they can change at will into sort of a reptilian shape, and that they've managed to, a lot of them have managed to get into positions of power. Like David says that Queen Elizabeth II, you know, the deceased Queen Elizabeth II, some of the presidents, Barack Obama, he mentions, he says a lot of these people are reptilian shapeshifters, which is amazing. What I found in my book wasn't so much, I didn't get it. I mean, I talked about that because that's what David brought in. So I talked about his theory and everything else. But more often than not, the accounts I got were just from everyday people around the world that were witnessing something that they considered to be a shapeshifter. So like in England, there was something, forgot what they called them, but they had a nickname for this big dog-like creature. Well, I should say wolf-like creature. They saw it was huge. And he had been around for a long time. People saw him for years. And, you know, they would see him like run and leap over a 10-foot fence with like no problem. But some people said that they actually saw this thing shift from, you know, transform from a man to a wolf or to whatever this canine kind of beast was.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I would hate that.
Yeah. Well, I would hate to be the guy, and I would hate to be around when it happens too. But some of those
That's kind of a classic story we've seen in literature and stuff too.
Yeah. Well, one of the classic ones that that I actually went to France to research was they call it the Beast of Gévaudan, and this was again a big wolf-like creature in the 1700s in an area of France that for a period of about 3 years just ravaged all these little villages and supposedly killed like over 100 people in that time span. And when I went to that location in France, that area, there's little memorials in these little villages dedicated to people that fought off the beast or that were killed by the beast. And to this day, nobody really knows what that thing was. The story is that it was eventually tracked down by a local hunter and that he shot it and he killed it. And the story is that he had silver bullets, which is, you know, typical werewolf lore that you kill a werewolf with silver bullets, right? Of course, nobody have found the corpse of this thing, which is amazing because you would think after all that they would preserve it, right? But and so a lot of the transformations that I hear about in history and everything tend to be sort of the wolf shape, but that's not the only kind of shape that a shapeshifter takes. You know, there's almost anything. In fact, shapeshifters by definition can transform into any kind of animal. They can transform into another person. They can even transform into an inanimate object. So like in Japanese culture, there's dozens of different kinds of shapeshifters, and frequently they'll transform into like something really dumb, like a broom, you know. Like, I mean, if you have the ability to transform, why waste it on doing it as a broom, you know? But that's part of the Japanese lore. So it was an amazing couple years of research and just, you know, fascinating stories that I found.
That's awesome. We had a good question in the comments too. Like first question, like, can you protect yourself from a shapeshifter?
How fast can you run? Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm not aware of any sort of what would I say, like, you know, charms or anything like that that would like ward off a shapeshifter. There might be some, because as I said, there were so many different kinds in different cultures. That's possible that some cultures may have stories about ways to do that. I didn't come across that. Mostly, it was just like, you know, just honestly, just hoping that you don't run into one.
Yeah, I know. So in your research and like your opinion and whatever else, like factually as well, like where, I mean, whatever, wherever you're at in this, where do you think this started from? Like, what do you think this was like? What is the exact like kind of start of this? Are you familiar with that? Or like, what's your opinion on that? Or more or less?
Yeah, I mean, I think, okay, so I'm definitely not a psychologist, but I think the whole idea of the shapeshifter takes root in our own psychology. Because we know that we have an animal nature, right? We're not all good. We know that we all have sort of an animal side to us. And the only thing that sort of keeps us in check is, you know, our sense of morality, maybe our religion, the actual laws of where we live. If you go bite somebody, we're probably going to arrest you and put you in jail, you know? So those kinds of things keep us in line. But if you think of the novel, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll was this moral, upright, Christian, wonderful, kind physician that was helping people, curing people, healing people. Yet at the same time, he was experimenting because he just said, what would it be like if I can throw off everything that keeps us in check? if I can just toss my religion, toss the laws, whatever, and just, you know, run naked through the woods at night, howling at the moon, what would that be like if I can do that? And that's when he transforms into Mr. Hyde, who actually ends up murdering somebody. And then Jekyll, realizing what he does, commits suicide because he can't live with that. So where I'm going, it's kind of a long story, but the point I'm trying to make is that I think we all are aware that any one of us can do something bad, maybe not horrifically bad. We're not all serial killers, I hope. But, you know, we all have moments when we, you know, we lash out at somebody or we lose our temper. I mean, all this stuff that we're not in control, right? So I think the shapeshifter gives us kind of a safe outlet, because if we can read about shapeshifters or even pretend that we transform by putting on animal hides or something like some shamans do, primitive shamans, if we can do that, that kind of allows us to experience that wild side vicariously without really doing much damage. So I think that's what makes the tale so popular. And then they grow up and they become much worse, where the shapeshifters do become, a lot of them become horrible, you know, murdering machines, you know. But by the way, not all shapeshifters are evil. I mean, my research showed that there's a lot of countries that have shapeshifters that are actually actually favorable to humans, and sometimes, you know, will help humans out or leave something, like leave food on their doorstep if they need food or something along those lines. So they're not all terrible. We're in love with werewolves and vampires, and that's where we go. And so every shapeshifter is evil like that, but that's not really the case.
Awesome. Well, no, I appreciate that. It was very well thought out. We got Frankie with the weather report real fast.
Hi, Anthony. I'm doing great so far. There's a new edition of Frank the Hobbit with wearing a t-shirt. It's coming out in July.
Awesome, man. How you doing today, Frank?
I'm doing great. Hi, John. I'm Frankie Dell. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Frankie.
I'm doing great so far. Dave, you got the t-shirt Frank the Hobbit sale available for pre-order. I sent it to you on private chat.
Okay, cool. I'll pull it up real fast for you, brother.
And right now, it's snow flurries where I'm at right now. It's in downtown Sydney on Charlotte Street. I'm showing you, it's snow flurries in Sydney right now. Last week, you had a big snowstorm.
What's Missouri look like? Is it finally getting better up here?
It's going to get cold. It's really, really cold next week.
That's not good. What about Cincinnati? That's where John's from.
It's going to get really, really cold in Cincinnati, too.
It's not good news.
No.
In Ohio, southern Ohio, near Kentucky.
You got it. Man.
When's it going to get warmer?
Pretty soon. That means spring begins on March 20th. Time springs ahead on March 8th and 9th. Solar winter ends on February 7th. It's nothing to do with the weather. It's the length of the day. Like that means halfway in the vertical equinox. Then on March 1st, meteorological winter ends. That's when meteorological spring begins. Then on March 20th, astronomical spring begins. 12-hour daylight, 12-hour darkness all over the world. Days are getting longer in northern hemisphere. Days are getting shorter in southern hemisphere at the same time.
Man, it was brutal last week. John and I were talking about that before the show started. It snowed a lot of people in over here in the Midwest.
And did you hear about this? I just released a new comedy video, the guy being chased by a ton of gorillas.
I did not, but it sounds funny already. Have you ever seen a shapeshifter, Frankie?
No, there's no such thing as a shapeshifter in real life.
I don't know. I'm not saying all that. But I don't know. You don't believe in shapeshifters?
Me?
It's not real in real life.
I'd have to see. I don't know. I hear a lot of stories, though. I don't know. You ever see those celebrities shapeshifting on the internet?
No, and not true. That means celebrities don't shapeshift either.
You don't think Justin Bieber's a shapeshifter?
Not at all.
Well, John, what do you think? You think is Frankie right, or is it fiction, or is it real? What do you think?
Yeah, I tell you, I agree with Frankie. I think there's probably an explanation for things that we've cited where people say they've seen things. I mean, But I do, I make a little bit of an exception in that I do believe there are people that don't necessarily shift or transform in the sense of a physical sense, but that internally there's something about them. And I think of like some people, for instance, some serial killers, like Ted Bundy, for instance, who always appeared as this very, you know, kind of collegiate kind of guy, clean cut guy, young guy, would help people out, you know, help little old ladies put their groceries in the cart and everything else, and then kill them, you know? So, I mean, how do you make that kind of a transformation? So I do think there is something, actually in my book, I kind of talk about the idea of internal shape shifting versus external. So I think in that sense, there's something going on that's not, that I would consider, you know, being a transformation.
Interesting.
I don't know if Frankie's buying that one, but.
There's no shapeshifters in real life.
There you go. Final word.
What if there was? How could you be so sure or certain?
There's not in real life.
I just didn't know if you had any evidence on that. But that's not, I don't know what I believe. I don't know if I wouldn't rule it out, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't say either, really. I don't know. The world's a crazy
place. That means a lot of forest fires going on in Southern California right now in Los Angeles. There's a lot of fires still going down right now.
Yeah, it's sad. That's messed up.
And did you hear about this? In Arkansas, then Louisiana is supposed to get snow in Houston, Texas, possible. They had an earthquake somewhere in Mexico, 6.8 magnitude.
6.8?
Yes.
Wow. That's catastrophic. That's crazy, right?
Yeah. And they had a 6.8 magnitude earthquake in southern Japan. Did a lot of damage.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of tragedy happening right now.
And did you hear about this? Over in Western Canada and in Western United States, a lot of fires going on in Southwestern United States, burning a lot of blaze and Santa Ana winds, triggering more fires.
Yeah, it's definitely messed up. I see it all over Instagram.
Hey, that's Charlotte Street in Sydney right now. And did you hear about this? There's a lots of some. There's some cold air over in Eastern Europe. Then you got warm air, cold air fighting each other in Europe too. And there's lots of snow in Sapporo, Hokkaido, Japan. Rain coming off the coast of Japan too. And there's a lot of thunderstorms raining in Indonesia right now. In parts of Botswana, Angola, and Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Madagascar. There's a possible tropical cyclone aiming towards northwestern Australia.
Damn.
Down in Antarctica, they'll be starting to get some darkness next month in Antarctica. Up in Bear, Alaska, on January 23rd, there'll be first sunrise of 2025. Up in Bear, Alaska, up above the Arctic Circle in Bear, Alaska on January 23rd.
Wait, it's still dark in Alaska right now? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Next week, they'll be starting to get some light up in Alaska gradually, bit by bit, through February, March.
That's super interesting, actually. Once again,
in the end of May, the month of June, there will be 24-hour daylight up above the Arctic Circle.
That's interesting. Yeah, I knew that happened. I just didn't think those happened right now. It's interesting.
There'll be 24-hour daylight up in the Arctic again. There is no such a thing as shapeshifter in real life.
Frankie can't be so certain. We don't know. Well, you got any questions for John about shapeshifters or anything before we got here?
How is the shapeshifter? Is it only in the movies? or real life?
Yeah, they're big in movies, that's for sure.
Not in real life.
Well, don't just don't look behind you, that's all.
Shapeshifters only in the movies and films. It's fictional and it's fantasy. It's not real, not reality.
I love how sure you are of it. This is so funny. I love the certainty, man. I've never been, I don't think I've been that certain about anything. Like, that's so certain. You're just like, it's no way is it real. It's all these movies. That's interesting, man. Like, and you might be right. I mean, I'm not even ruling it out. I'm just saying, like, that's a strong take. Strong. Like.
And Gina was doing in the Hot Water Show earlier today. Gino Pisconte, the host of the Hot Water Show, is doing great.
Well, it's good to hear, man. I'm glad you're doing good. Well, we're going to get back to the shapeshifting stuff unless you got any questions. But I appreciate if the weather. It's always Frank. You're always on point.
If you want to follow me on social media, my blue sky is at Frankie MacD. My link tree is at Frankie MacDowell. My threads is at Frankie MacD 94. My ex formerly Twitter is at Frankie MacD. And my Facebook is Frankie MacDowell. My Instagram is Frankie MacD 94. My TikTok is Frankdown 94. My Clapper is Frankdown 94. My Twitch is Frankdown 94. My Snapchat is Frankie MCD1. My YouTube channel is Dogs of Wolves. And my LinkedIn is Frankie MacDowell. Best of luck to you. I'm Frankdown. You're listening to the Anthony Rogers Show. T-shirt edition of Frankie Doll Bobbleheads coming out in July 2025.
Well, thank you, Frank. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate your weather. You're a genius. And thank you for your help. Thank you for this week's weather.
Wow. Well, he knows his weather.
He's always right. Like he has not been wrong since he's been on this show. It's crazy.
Well, he's got all these detailed facts on weather. So.
No, he's on point. So you don't believe in shapeshifters either?
Well, I think the traditional image of shapeshifters I find hard to believe.
Fair.
I mean, just a science, you know. But as I said, I'm convinced that there is what I would call internal shapeshifters. I'll give you an example.
It's more psychological than physical. Like, well, your explanation was that it was more of a psychological thing.
Yeah. And which is, I mean, you know, the end result is, well, first of all, I'll give you an example. Back in back in France and actually in areas of Germany, back in the like 17th century to 1600s, there were a lot of cases of people who had lycanthropy, which they, you know, it's actually a psychological state where people believe that they've transformed themselves into wolves, right? So that's a transformation. But when you saw these people, I mean, they didn't have claws, they didn't have hair, they didn't have fangs, but they were running around on all fours. They were attacking people. They were devouring people, literally killing people and devouring, tearing them apart with their hands and eating.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And ending up in most of them when they're apprehended were executed because that was, you know, even pre sort of psychiatry days back in the 1600s. You know, most of people considered that they were, the work of the devil. They're possessed or whatever it was. So they were killed. They're executed. Later on, they started putting them in insane asylums. But there are still people, there are still cases even today where people have lycanthropy, you know. But I'll give you another case. There's a guy here in Ohio named Guy Savelli, a guy named Guy. It makes it confusing, but that's his name. And he's a martial arts expert in so many different forms of martial arts. But he also does a lot of stuff with like mind control and like remote viewing and a lot of things like that. He did a lot of work with the Navy SEALs, with special ops forces, doing a lot of training and experimentation with them. I was in touch with one of his students for my book, and his student told me that he and Guy were in a bar one time, and they were just, you know, just hanging out, having a bar, having a couple of drinks, and they were fine. And then some other person comes along who had a couple too many, and for whatever reason, just came over to their table and just started, you know, hey, buddy, you know, I'm going to punch you out. You know, who knows why? We've probably most of us have experienced a guy like that in our life, right? So anyways, this is going on. So Guy Savelli just kind of stands up and he's like only a couple inches away from this drunk and just kind of looking at him. And Guy's student is sitting there and he looks up at Guy and he says, he said, I don't know what happened. He said, all I know is that Guy's face, he said, I don't know how to describe it. It transformed, it turned into something. He said, all I saw when I looked at him was the face of a tiger. Now, I wasn't there, but this is a guy who stood a couple feet away from him, who actually had worked with him a lot, saying that, you know, I see the face of a tiger. But whatever face he was showing, that drunk, according to the student, just went, oh, hey, man, okay, and, you know, and backed off and just took off. And then guy just sat down and he was fine. I mean, nothing. The student said he looked like normal guy. I said, what was that about? He said, I don't know. But, you know, guy, again, is a person, like I said, who has a lot of this mental ability to do things. So nobody else in the bar said, hey, we're looking at a tiger here. But that drunk saw that. So somehow guy projected that. He projected that image to that drunk. To me, that's shape-shifting. I mean, that's, you know, maybe only one guy saw it, but maybe, you know, I mean, guy who's able to sort of direct that to this one individual. And that's as much a shape-shifting as, I think, as if he had gotten tiger stripes and claws, you know?
What would you turn it into if you could turn it into?
What would I turn into? I don't know. Probably something like a raven or an eagle, something like that, I think.
That'd be cool.
How about you?
I don't know, man. A younger version of myself, you know?
Well, okay. Now you need a time machine. You don't need a chance. You know? That's a different show.
Fair. No, I think flying would be fun. I think that's a cool call. I think flying would be fun, man. Or like, I don't know, or turn it into a shape-shifting reptile so I could scare David Icke. You know, it's
a big reptile. A big dinosaur or something. You know,
but it's a very interesting concept. And like all logic is basically just like, yeah, that's a story. Like Frankie was saying, so like Frankie has a way of just put it so like reduced to where it's just like there's no way that's even true. It's only on TV. But I mean, I think and you guys might even be right. And yours is more deep, obviously, through where you're saying that the people are like kind of just projecting that in their mind and stuff. But I don't know. I just one of those things. I just don't know. The child me wants to keep it open, keep an open mind, but like the adult me is just like there's no way that's true and agrees with you guys. You know, like,
yeah.
But it's just like such an interesting topic.
I mean, there's nuances to it because, like I said, I can't explain myself, my physical being suddenly becoming an animal or another person. You know, I can't see that, but I can see some of these internal things that I talked about. You know, and for all practical purposes, my book's got accounts of people who have had experiences where they have seen transformations. You know, and I mean, some of the articles I had were from the New York Times and places like that that are, you know, legitimate news outlets and not just some, you know, some little rag that somebody put out in their basement. And yet they're talking about these things. So I don't know what to make with that. I don't know what to do with somebody that says, well, I saw this. I mean, I was there and I saw this thing happen. Well, it's like when people talk to me about ghosts and say, whatever. I say, well, you know, you've had an experience. I'm not denying your experience. Something, you saw something happened in your experience. And as you say, Anthony, you know, I'm not one to say, well, I got all the answers and you're wrong. I don't know. I mean, the universe, the multiverse, is too vast for me to say that I've got the answers to everything.
Yeah, weirder things have happened. You know, it's like, yeah, it's just like, you know, it's like, yeah. I don't know what to think a lot of the times. You know, it's like, and I think that's important. I think for myself anyway, it's a goal. It's like, I can be very close-minded, so I try not to be. Because I can be way more, I mean, just like, I just, you know, it's just like something I just like to keep open. And it's kind of insane, like, to even kind of think there's a possibility is kind of insane sounding, you know, at least like, it's just like, And I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting thing. And like, I think what kind of things do people turn into that have told you? Is it always wolves, or is it like different things? Or are you seeing a tiger in the bar? Is there like certain like a theme to these? Or you notice any patterns with people that say anything?
I don't know about patterns. I mean, the typical shape-shifting, you know, experience seems to be into an animal, right? And it does seem like canines are really popular, like wolves to werewolves. In the Southwest, you have a lot of some of the native people there, the indigenous people like the Utes and the Dene people. They talk about skinwalkers, and skinwalkers, you know, are shamans that transform into something. And typically they transform into like a coyote or a wolf, again, some kind of a canine animal. So that seems pretty typical. But, you know, you go like I talk about the the Bushmen in Africa, in the Kalahari Desert. Some of the Bushmen who are shaman, they go out hunting, and they believe that they transform. They go through these rituals of dance and everything, and they wear the animal pelts, and they act like the animal in some of these dances. And they also take some, hallucinogenics from the environment, you know, whether they're mushrooms or whatever else that'll give them kind of a buzz, you know. They'll take all this stuff, and they will then believe that they've transformed into something. And they're, you know, talking about Africa, so they are transforming, they believe, into lions and tigers and, you know, wildebeest or, you know, whatever. So, it's pretty amazing.
Well, it's a very, very fascinating story. Like I've never seen anything like that, but I definitely am open to it. I mean, it sounds like a terrifying and awful experience, but at the same time, kind of interesting. It's like seeing a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like for science, you're like, that's really cool, but like for like staying alive, you're like, that's not cool. And it's like it's just like a, you know, it's one of those things. It's like I don't know. It's very interesting to go into, like, for like just to do research on. Like how long did it take you to research this subject? Your book.
Well, I think I've probably spent about 2 years doing the research. That includes a lot of the travel and stuff too that I did for it. You know, I was I was in like 8 different countries in Europe to do this. You know,
very cool. Like, so what would you do in these countries? What was the object? What was like the goal in like each country and on your visit stuff?
Well, I was trying to. So I was looking for stories, particularly from that country. Like I mentioned, the Beast of Gévaudan in France, right? Mm-hmm. So I actually went to that area, that Gévaudan area in France, and I talked to people. You know, what do you think was? And some of the people would say, "Oh yeah, we don't know. We think it was a werewolf." Other people would say, "No, we're with Frankie on this one." You know. They knew Frankie over there. And I went to places like, I went to Romania because, you know, when we think of where we think of vampires, we think Dracula, we think Romania. So I went to all the locations, the historic sites that were affiliated with Vlad the Impaler, who was an actual ruler in Romania, that it's believed that Bram Stoker modeled his Count Dracula off of this guy. So I went to like the house that he was born in. I went to the ruins of one of his castles. I actually even went to the place where he's supposed to be buried, in this little tiny church on an island. And you walk out in this long causeway out to this dinky little island, probably not much more than maybe 2 acres, if that. And there's this little chapel right in the middle of it. And his grave is in there, Vlad the Impaler, right? Although the interesting thing is that like in the 1930s, some anthropologists opened the grave to just examine it and all that stuff, and there wasn't anything in there. So now you think, oh, wait a minute, maybe Vlad was a vampire, and if his grave is empty, well, where is he now? You know, so I went to places like that specifically that had some kind of folklore or historic stories or something about shapeshifters, and I tried to just find out what I could, talking to people, visiting the locations, that kind of stuff.
That's very interesting and awesome. That's a very cool way to write stories, man. It's like,
oh yeah, I mean, that's what I love about writing, because so many places I travel so many places around the world to do some of my stuff, and it's just, that's great, you know.
It's amazing, yeah. It's like Hunter S. Thompson was like that too. He'd go to the event and write about it type thing. That's a very interesting way of writing. It adds a lot of validity to your writing too, of going to these actual areas and talking to the townspeople around which it happened. I think that adds a lot of validity.
Right.
That's cool, man. So, like, I don't know. Where do you see this going with shapeshift? Will always be a story, or like, do you think it's going to come out one day that we're like, see, the president's a shapeshifter? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. That may happen. But, considering the fact that, as I said, the earliest depiction of a shapeshifter goes back to the Neolithic period, you know, prehistory, you know, and we're still talking about them today. And, you know, Frankie mentioned they're in movies. Well, he's right. I mean, they're big in popular culture now. They're in movies. They're in books. There's TV shows. There's even kids programs. I have 11 grandkids, and two of them talked to me about this show called Morphle. It's a cartoon series for little kids. I said, Morphle? And Morphle is this little, it's like a round gumdrop with legs and eyes, right? And Morphle is a magic pet that you get at a magic pet store, according to the show. But Morphle is owned by this little girl, and she can tell Morphle, hey, change into a fire truck. And he does. And then, okay, he changes back. Hey, change into a horse. And he changes to a horse. So that's shape-shifting. It's funny. It's humorous. It's not like what we consider, but it is shape-shifting. And it's in all that stuff. Even if you look at products, I mean, I was looking at consumer products. There's all kinds of beers with, you know, werewolf images on them and shapeshifter stuff. And there's food products, candy. There's all kinds of things, you know. So it's out there. It's part of our culture and part of cultures around the world. So it's not going anywhere. It's going to be around.
Yeah, there's a book when I was a kid called like Animorphs or something like that. I think it's something like that. Like where like it was like the I was actually trying to make a graphic with your face turning into something for the podcast graphic
because that would have been cool.
I was trying to. And I'm like, I'm gonna mess this up. I'm just gonna go stick. But I was trying to make it to where like it was like your face turning into like slowly into like a like I don't know something cool, man. But that's what those books used to look like, and those were always fascinating covers. And like I was more into Goosebumps in my generation, so I never read those, but I did like the cover, and those were definitely a very popular story in that. And I think it's just such a fascinating subject that is. I mean, I would go through those YouTube videos watching the celebrities like their eye change for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah. Did you see? No, did you see that? Or like, there's this Elvis. Have you seen the Elvis one where like he's like in black and white, like at some girl, some party. Or some like thing, he's doing something and like his face like molds all weird.
No, I haven't seen that one. I'll have to look it up.
I might have to pull it up with you on here. Yeah, I may have to pull it up with you on here. Like that just makes it crazier.
I saw some of the eye videos that you're talking about, you know.
What are your thoughts on those?
Well, I have a hard time believing a lot of videos because there's so much as you know what you can do with a video, you know. I mean, now, if I saw somebody, if I was looking at somebody and I saw their eyes change like that, I might have a different thought about it. But I don't trust a lot of the videos, yeah. Especially now.
And this one might be. No, I appreciate your honesty. Like I'm not just going with it just for you know. I appreciate you just being real about it, man. It's a really, really honest answer. Elvis here, like this can be chalked up to film quality too. I'm sure. But like also, but it's still like wildly entertaining to me. Like I don't know if this is no.
Nick, you come right in here.
His face is like shifting while weird the whole time. Like, I might have to zoom in on that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's looks like the other guy is too, maybe.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. And they all cover him in a second. Like he like they start to see his face being like right there. Like it's just moves weird.
It's weird looking, yeah.
Yeah, it keeps changing too. His face in particular, and they all cover him up eventually when they see it. Like, it's just like the Memphis Mafia or whatever they're called. Like, he's just Like I said, you never know these old film. Like, what if something, you know? But or
well, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, it's hard to actually the girl. Like, kind of creepy there too.
yeah, you're seeing a bunch of people. Like it's like a like that's crazy right there.
Yeah.
Well, like you never know. I mean, we could chalk it up to film and stuff, but the way these guys kind of freak out for a second, it looks like they all freak out and cover or not freak out, but like just cover them. Like one's wiping down, one's stepping in the way.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, that's a pampered dude too. That probably pays all their. But I mean, true. I mean, you never. I mean, there's so many. You can't just be like, okay, it's real. Obviously, look at this because like it's questionable to be very honest. But it's like even this video we're watching right now is questionable. But it's like, yeah, that's what's so Jane in the comments saying the same thing. Like you were kind of saying, view quality's poor. Girl had two noses. Like you know, it's like, so
yeah. I mean, it's just like a lot of people's faces were shifting in that thing. You know,
right. Yeah, it was definitely weird. But I mean, just things like that. I never know, man. I'm just like. I never know what's going on in this weird rock world. I just, I mean, it's like you think you know something, and then something. I mean, you know, I don't know. I feel like an expert at something, and I just look like an idiot the next day about it. You know, it's just one. You know, it's just how the world works. Yeah, they'll come down in a minute. I think they're already admitting aliens are real. I think the Navy's like, yeah, those UFOs, I mean, they're real. Right. So I mean, that's kind of fascinating. Where like it's not much of a conspiracy theory, and maybe we'll find some more as we go. You know.
Yeah. See, I find that. I mean. you know, again, when you think of the size of, I don't say universe anymore. I say multiverse now because, you know, quantum physics tells us it's not just one, but infinite, right? I mean, what are the odds that in that entire infinite, you know, infinity, that we are the only little dot that's got some life on it? That's like ridiculous to think that, you know. Have we made contact with it? Are they with us? Well, I don't know, but I think it's possible at some point, sometime, if they haven't already, they will.
Yeah, that's like a different thing. Not to totally change the subject from the episode format, but Mars looks like Mars kind of looks like a old Earth, and like, I mean, in those C.S. Lewis books, like King of Mars just sounds super real. I mean, when I read that, I'm like, this doesn't even seem like fiction. It seems like a documentary, or at least it's fiction, so it didn't seem crazy. like some of these books, like that C.S. Lewis wrote about Mars and the people that were there before. I mean, it's like, no, it's just a wild. I mean, you know, I just like I said, I just try to, I don't know, maybe I'm insane, but I just love that. I love to keep that like childlike thing of like, who knows what's possible. You know, it's like aspect. And that's, I mean, that's kind of a cop out, not taking a side too in a lot of ways. But I think,
Einstein had this quote where he said that he did not want to live. He said, universe is, I wouldn't want to live in a universe that had no magic in it. And what he meant was, I mean, he meant, you know, it didn't really mean magic as much as what you're talking about, like mystery, like not everything is, there's still things to be solved, still things we don't know. And he was happy with that. He said, I don't want to live where we have all the answers and everything. So he always wanted to be questioning what else is there, what more is there. And, you know, that's how we advance. That's how we discover things.
No, I agree. It's how we beat Japan. I'm just joking.
Okay.
I'm just messing around.
We could go down that road.
No, Einstein's very interesting. I love a lot of his work, man. Like, I like the parallel dimension thing and a bunch of others. I mean, he was a very interesting guy. If anybody was a shapeshifter, it's probably Einstein, right?
Okay. I'm not sure about the hair, but you know.
That would be fun, man. Well, is there anything you want to throw out that we may have missed, like any kind of subject that you think is very fascinating that you may want to we got a lot of people watching, so you may think is worth bringing up before we go into like the promo?
No, other than I mean, people should know that the book is called Shapeshifters: A History, and it's you know, it's a nonfiction look at the whole shapeshift culture, and that it's out, and it's in, if they can't find it in their bookstore, they can certainly find it on Amazon, or actually any of the online, you know, you can find it at walgreen.com, barnesandnoble.com. They all got it.
It's in the link after his after John's bio in the description.
Okay,
too.
In my website,
really about John, and then you got a good book bookstore option, check it out and stuff.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
In the description, people watching this, and then Google his name, Google the book. Great, great concept, man. I love that you travel. It makes it even cooler that you traveled all these locations to do that, man. And I wish I was smart enough to be a writer. So congratulations on your success and all that. You know, it's like,
thank you. Thank you.
It's a very cool thing, man. And you wrote 13 other books, or 12 other books rather. If you want to, check those out too, obviously search his name and stuff like that. I appreciate you coming on, brother. And like, if you've got other subjects, you're more than welcome. You're a very cool and interesting person. So I'm open to other things down the road. But no, cool. And then if anybody has any questions before we get on, feel free to ask. So like before we wrap up, we're kind of just get out of here. But cool. Yeah, I will be in next week. I will be in Las Vegas, I think, doing the show. We're down there for the AVNs. So if you guys are watching next week, we'll be interviewing porn stars. So if you have any scientific questions, ask these ladies. I'll make sure to let us know.
There might be some shape shifting there. I don't know.
Yeah, we're gonna interview shape shifting porn stars next week.
That's right.
We're going to merge all the subjects together. Link in the description for anything. Like, you can follow Frank, you can follow John, you can follow myself, any of that. I appreciate you guys spending your Tuesday. I appreciate John coming in here on a Tuesday, like night, and being here. And, a little bit easier just probably to do than Coast to Coast, which you can also listen. Is work on Coast to Coast really good, too. I listened to that the other day. It was one of my favorite shows, is Coast to Coast. So I love all the fascinating things you guys talk about. John was awesome on there, too. And I guess what does it say, dudes? You know, dudes are porn stars too. You want me to interview dudes for you, Jenny? We'll do that. We'll interview everybody, okay? And anybody that'll do the show next week will be on there. So Nikki and I will probably be live though next week. She had dance class and wanted me to. She was so bummed about the subject because she loves shapeshifting to the coast. Her name's Nikki. She loves shapeshifting and the concept of that and all this like supernatural type stuff. she had to do dance class time, but she was so just like, she was like, ah, I want to do that. Like, so, but yeah, all that stuff's there. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else I'm missing. Florida, we're in Boca Raton, Florida, January 31st to February 1st at the Box 2.0 doing comedy. Come check it out if you're in Florida. It's not that far from anywhere else in Florida. So if you're just in the state, go there. Drive 3 hours, you know. You check it out. What else we got? I think that's about it promo-wise. I think, yeah, next week on the AVN episode. Check that out. And I appreciate John coming on. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Anthony.
Buy 17 copies of his books. We're gonna rig the book charts. We're gonna sell 20,000 copies of those books tonight. So
it's okay with me.
Well, thank you for your time, brother. I appreciate your mind and time, and like, hope you have a great night. All right.
I appreciate the invitation. Thanks, man. Well, take care.